Let's take our Bibles and turn again, this time into the New Testament. This morning I want to spend our time together around one singular verse, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Now, even before I read, let me say I know some of you are anxious, wondering if I'm going to speak about the events of the last week in our nation, and I will, but not today. Today I want to focus on the good that the Lord has done in our midst in a prayer moving forward, though some of that certainly will bleed through even in the verse that we're looking at. But next week, I would ask for your prayers as next week I want to speak on the question, shall we hang up our hearts? Out of Psalm 137, verse 2. Shall we hang up our hearts? No! I give it all away. Though for a while, we feel that way. So what do? The verses are there in your worship guide to go ahead and begin ponder. But today, let us consider Acts chapter 9, beginning and ending with verse 31. So the church, or the churches in the various regions, or the church singular as collective. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Our Father, this morning as we come to your word and we just camp for a while on this one verse, we are thankful for the saints who have gone before us that we sang of, who are now receiving the fruit of their faith in your presence. We are those called to live in this age. And what do we hope to be true of this congregation moving forward? Father, may the simplicity of the verse not be lost on us, but may the challenge of this verse be accepted by us as we look forward together. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's be seated. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, is a summary statement that we find Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, periodically employing as he's telling the story of the advancement of the church in good times and in not good times, and the progress of the gospel as it is ever expanding, not only in Jerusalem, but also in the other parts of the globe. And so I'm just peeking in on this one verse as we're reflecting this morning what we hope to be true of this church. This is Luke's writing by the Holy Spirit, the summary statement of the church at that moment. And if God found it commendable to remember this statement summarizing the heart of this church, hopefully we will find it commendable to also imitate and have to be true about us. So let me set some of the background, so the context of the verse. If you're looking at your message notes, so the context of this verse. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. So this is the context in which they are now continuing and being built up, walking and being multiplied. But what does it mean that the church had peace? Well, I'm going to tell you two things biblically that it does not mean, and one that is the direct impact of what Luke is trying to address. In the Bible, there is peace with God and peace in the body and peace from without. And it's the peace from without Luke is addressing here. It is assumed that the church is at peace with God, and God is at peace with the church, because He calls them the church or the churches. Those who are a part of the church are those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed, though we were sinners, Christ entered into the world to save us. We sang of that atoning work of Christ earlier and the shedding of His blood being the basis of the church. The church is not made up simply by membership forms and membership classes. The Rotary Club has memberships, but not all Rotarians are going to heaven, and not all Rotarians shall escape hell. The Lions Club has memberships, but the golf course has memberships, but not all those members will enter into heaven, and not all shall escape hell. But all who are members of the church of Jesus Christ shall be gathered with Him forever and ever, not on the basis of our goodness, but God's great mercy that He should send His Son, that while we were yet His enemies, God sent His Son to reconcile us unto Himself. And we are at peace with God because He is at peace with us. As we have been justified, says Romans chapter 5, we have been justified by faith. And now stand in this peace, have peace with God. It's this no longer an adversarial relationship with God because of our sinfulness. For He is a holy God who does not wink at or laugh at sin, but must judge it. But He has made peace with us. Hence the declaration of the angels when Jesus is born. Peace among men. Christ is the means by which we are at peace with God. But that's not the peace that He means in this verse. And then there's the peace that is to be the marker of those within the body of Christ, that we're not at each other's throats over every little bent preference issue. Unlike the congregation in James, where he says that they're literally warring with one another. They're fighting and boxing with one another. Why? Because of selfish motives and reasonings. They are not a congregation marked by peace. He reminds the Romans in chapter 12, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men, certainly within the body of Christ. And there are moments when Paul, the evangelist, writer of to the churches, has to address non-peaceful moments in the life of the church. But there are indeed one body, as we sang, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's where our peace comes from, when our hearts are joined upon Christ, looking at Him. And they did have peace at the moment within the body. That's not the peace that Luke is addressing. Rather, to understand the peace that he is addressing, you need to read the rest of Acts 9. And it is the account of the conversion of Paul. Actually, the conversion of Saul, who becomes Paul. New identity, new name. The one who was persecuting the church and imprisoning believers and killing believers for no other reason than the fact that they were followers of Jesus Christ. And he gets converted. The Lord grabs hold of him on the way to Damascus, and by His grace blinds him for a moment and for a season, until brave Ananias takes him under his wing and begins to teach him. And Ananias finally brings him to the other believers in Jerusalem, and they don't know what to make of this. Is this a ploy? Is he trying to spy on the church and then get in our midst to find who the leadership is, and then he's going to spring back to being the old Saul and take us all to prison? They were not clear. In fact, verse 26, maybe on the same page that you were just looking at. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, love Barnabas in the book of Acts. He's always the one coming alongside and encouraging. And they realize that indeed he is a brother. And so now there's no longer trouble from Saul or Paul directly. But now that the Jews of Jerusalem understand that their go-to guy for arresting and killing Christians has become one of them, and they're after him and anybody around him. And so there's still turmoil in Jerusalem until finally the church says, Paul, maybe it'd be better for you to go off to Tarsus for a season and let things cool down here in Jerusalem. And so it is in that context, as they had sent him off to Tarsus, that now there was not a predominant antagonist of the church. They were not receiving persecution either directly or indirectly. They entered into a season of peacefulness with those around them. Now you need to know that the season of peace is short-lived. In chapter 12, Herod, trying to curry favor with the Jews, kills James. And the persecution is back on. In just another couple of decades, Nero, the Roman emperor, gets in on the action and chooses the Christians as the convenient scapegoat for some weaknesses in his leadership. And he begins to persecute and kill the Christians. But in this time of peace, they took advantage of doing more and more what they were already doing in persecution. I'm going to give you the three words that I'm hoping will mark us as believers at Grace Community Baptist Church in the days to come. The three words that mark the church while in the season of peace and that they were edifying or being built up. They were walking and they were multiplying. And all three of these verbs, and maybe this is the word sentence statement that some of you need to desperately hear today. All that was occurring in peaceful time can still occur when the church is persecuted. We can still edify one another. We can still walk in holiness and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we can still multiply. Right? So, without giving away too much of next week, it's not all undone because of the last week. We are through a rapid time of change, but not such that the church has never seen before. Not such that we have ever seen before, perhaps, in our generation. But I also want to say this. You are still living in a land of peace. You can still, if in boldness the Holy Spirit leads you, can still go on the corner of Main and Fifth of whatever church you want to, or whatever city you want to, and open up your Bible and read it aloud, and you will not go to prison. You still live in a land of peace. We do not come together and worry that at any moment the secret police are coming in to arrest me and you will never see me again. There are congregations that is the weekly routine right now. That is not us. We still live in a time of peace. But we get to put up a sign on the front by the road where everybody passes by. Hey, this is a group of Christians meeting in this building. In other parts of the world, they have designated street corners where the place where they're going to worship next Sunday is announced by secret note. We still live in a time of peacefulness from those without. Don't be overly discouraged. We live in a time of peacefulness. Well, Pastor Ken, I don't know how long is it going to last? I don't know. In Acts, it lasted two chapters. I don't know. But right now, I'm going to thank the Lord. I live in a time of relative peacefulness for Christians. So let's focus on that. So in this time of peace, they were marked by three characteristics. And these are my prayer for myself and my family. This is what I'm praying for the life of grace in the days that should come. whether they be marked by peace or whether there be a reversion to oppression. And so let's look at the character traits that marks the church unified, growing. So here in verse 31, they had peace and was being built up. The word there is edified. Now, where was the church being built up? The church was being built up from on high through the body of Christ. The church was not being built up by the larger culture around them. They were still seen as suspicious and an arm's length relationship. Though there was peacefulness, not everybody outside of the church necessarily thought well of those inside the church. So they didn't get their edification from being applauded by the world around them. Their edification was coming from on high as they were building each other up. This is where the edification comes from. Listen to some verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. How is it that the church was edifying? They were encouraging each other. What word of encouragement do you plan to speak to one another around the table, at the lunch table? What encouraging word of thankfulness for another person? What encouraging word, maybe they have said something to you this week that has driven you back to the Word, and you need to go back and thank them and encourage them that the Lord used them this week. Encourage one another with the kind of talk that you speak to one another. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There's that edifying word. How is it that edification comes across there? When each person is seeking to do their part in the bringing together and the building up of the body of Christ. You're not edifying when you want everyone else to serve you. The body is edified when we each try to find some way in which we plug in and build up the body as a whole, even as the Lord Himself is knitting us together joint by joint. We take up the mantle of strength that He gives us each and every day, and we say, how can I plug in? How can I build? How can I come alongside for the good of the whole? That is a form of edification. So speaking well to one another and speaking words of life. Well, listen, I know we're going to talk about the Tigers and the Gamecocks and the River Dogs and this. And I know this conversation is going to have. It's just part of life, right? But if that's all we stay at, woe to us. Let there be gospel words. Because we live in a time when we need to hear hopeful words from one another. And not empty platitudes, but the Word of God. Edification comes when we speak well to one another. When we serve well for the good of the whole. Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding, so that we actively engage in whatever activity we can find to help build up each other. Now listen, we don't have to tear apart everybody else who's not a Christian in order to build up each other. You hear me? We don't have to gather together and complain about everybody out there in order to build each other up in here. let's talk about Christ. Let's talk about who you are in Christ. Let's talk about His mercies. Have you stumbled this week? Well, let's remind them that our God is rich in His mercies. Have you been discouraged this week? Remind folks that God is able to give strength as eagles, even to the weak. Are you perhaps confused and want to call to each other to call upon the Lord who is able to give wisdom when we ask of it of Him, and He will not mock us for doing so? Oh, point each other to Christ in the trials and tribulations and the joys that we have when we hear somebody going on about how good life is. Give a good little friendly nudge. Who gave that to you? God gave that to me. That's right. That's a good word. Build each other up in your Godwardness together. Making much of Him who gave Himself for us. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace. And in that peace, they were being built up. Now, the writer of Hebrews tells us to build each other up when there's a time of trouble. There was a time of persecution that they were... Well, if we are to build each other up when there's times of trouble, most likely when we're going to get the good practice to do it is when things are going well. May GCBC be a people who build each other up in Christ. And then there's another descriptor, another characteristic of the church as they were in peace. Look here again in verse 31. And, so they had peace and were being built up and walking. It's amazing how in the Scriptures, how many times that phrase comes to bear. Walking, 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 walking. We are ever making progress to a certain place, certainly the city of Zion, the heavenly city of God. We are always walking behind another. Certainly we are following the Lord Jesus. We are always walking like another as we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. But notice how this description of this church always moving forward, even in a time of peace, notice how their walking, their gait, their stride is described. They walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is meant by this fear of the Lord? Are Christians somehow schizophrenic in our faith? Fearful, trembling, scared, shaking, not really sure if we want to see the Lord, but comforted then at the same time that we do. No, that's not what's meant. We do walk with reverence before the One who has given us Himself and His Son. We walk with an awe that a holy God who will not let one sin abide in His presence forever has purchased us that we would live in His presence. We walk in reverent awe of the Lord who adores us and whom we adore. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit when things are difficult. And walking in the fear of the Lord. Look, the fear of the Lord, not the fear of the courts. Not the fear of elections. Not the fear of governors or senators or the fear of loss of the way things used to be. Fear of the Lord. Trusting Him. Abiding in Him, willing to walk in the fear of the Lord, holiness of the Lord, even when things become legal in our land that the Lord has called abominable. We will still walk in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, when it becomes tough in the walking in that way. The word there for comfort is the coming alongside of the Holy Spirit, who on the one hand indeed seals us at the moment we believe. Yes, also He dwells within us per the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is also a sense in which the Holy Spirit draws near to us to give us strength and more peace and comfort in the weary walking of our days. And walking, not sitting, not well, that's it. Right? That's the way we feel, maybe for a short season. But the church, remember the words of our Savior, are charging the gates of hell. We're not a church sitting. We're not a church flummoxed to inactivity. At least we are walking in the direction and the calling for which we have been called, in a manner worthy of our callings. We are ever moving as Christ moves victoriously. We are walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. May we be a church that does not take our cues of right and wrong from the land we live in, but from the Lord, who is the lawgiver of all. Therefore, knowing, says Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Just the opposite of the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Spirit somehow, just sort of relaxing. No, Paul says, we persuade others, knowing the fear of the Lord, knowing that the fear is to be, that the Lord is to be feared, that I've been delivered, and that grace was given to me in great measure, and the mercy of God given to me in great measure. But His wrath rests on those around me. I will, knowing the fear of the Lord, persuade others. And hence, they were multiplied. So this church, for a season at peace, and we are in that same season, we are at peace. Maybe not as much peace as we want, or maybe not as much peace as perhaps we thought we had at one point. But we are still at peace in this land. And so let us edify each other in the building up of Christ, pointing each other up to Christ, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We will continue to walk after the Lord, in the Lord's way, by the Lord's power, as He gives us the Holy Spirit. And as a result, it multiplies. Multiply. I want us to be a multiplying church. It multiplied. How does the church multiply? Well, Luke gives us the answer just a few chapters earlier in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. How will this church multiply? It will not be merely by good food at the table. Though that's a good thing. And the early church gathered regularly to eat and break bread together. But that is not what caused the multiplication of the church. And the church will not multiply because of excellent music. That's not how the church multiplies. The church doesn't multiply because of perfect facilities. Church doesn't multiply because of specific programs in place. The church multiplies when you and I go out speaking the Word of God, even into the ears of those who presently oppose us. That's that line there at the end. And a great many of the priests, these were the guys who were on Saul's side. The Word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, such so that their disciples went out, and disciples who were mature went out. And so by the time that you get to Acts chapter 9, now the church, which is located in Judea, Jerusalem, and Galilee, just north, and Samaria, a little bit further on, had peace and were being built up. We multiply when we tell the story of Jesus. I get in trouble when I say this. But on this anniversary day, don't leave here telling the story of GCBC. Because the story of GCBC alone does not save anyone. But the story of Jesus Christ saves everyone who calls upon His name. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not ashamed of being a part of this congregation. And if, as you are making much of Jesus, you tell something of the congregation of GCBC, wonderful! He's the one that we make much of. Let's tell His story in the hopes that those who have not yet heard, or maybe have heard 100 times, but now the Holy Spirit is at work, that indeed they are added into the kingdom. Let us edify one another for the glory of God. Let us walk. Let us seek multiplication. Let us look for those moments to speak the name of Jesus. Listen. The name of G-O-D means nothing in this day. Some of you are like, where has he jumped off the train? Those of you who've been reading your Facebook and your Twitter feeds, those of you who read your newspapers, God is being thanked for the celebration of the legalization of sin. G-O-D, as a vague God, is celebrated by many who are an affront to God. To the real God. Let's with lasers talk about Jesus. We live in a day when we say God, we cannot assume that everybody understands like we do that that's a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one. The Father sending the Son dying in our place, raised from the dead, and giving to us the Holy Spirit until He comes again. We cannot assume that any longer. Let us speak the name of Jesus. You go and you read the rest of Acts. They're not talking about even the Lord vaguely. Sermon after sermon is about Jesus. Conversation after conversation is about Jesus. And we need to do the same. May the Lord help us to do the same. So this morning, as we gather together, let us be thankful to the Lord that He has allowed us to presently be in a time of peace. And let us thank Him that in this time of peace, we have no excuse, no hindrance, no stumbling block to be able to edify one another, build each other up in Christ. And we have every opportunity to walk together. That's something I didn't say in the walking. Notice the collective use here in verse 31 of the church. It's not just that believers on their own had peace and were being edified, but with each other they were edifying. With each other they were walking. With each other they were multiplying. On this day in which we're celebrating our anniversary, let's celebrate by being with and for and building up each other, one another. So that when, as the Scripture says, one cries, we all cry. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. That's what Christ intends for us. Let us, on this day of celebrating our anniversary, even if need be, submit ourselves again to the Lord. I will walk in the fear of the Lord. May the Holy Spirit indeed comfort us. And as we have opportunity to take the Word of God out with us, may the Lord multiply us for His glory. So let us pray. Father, as I reflect of all that You have done, somewhat like what Luke is doing here, as I've reflected this week and thinking about meetings of this body at the elementary school and missionaries that we've had come through and that we have partnered with and still partner with, as I think about Your, through us, helping us to send a car to missionary couple in Siberia, and Your, through us, building a training center and providing a bus in Honduras. As I think through the faces of Your multiplying in our midst, of those that have entered into the waters of baptism as new believers in Christ, as I think about the saints who have gone on ahead from our midst, as I look out even this morning, such gratefulness for the body of grace. Oh Lord, give us a gladness in You and a gladness in each other. May we be very thankful. May we still have the immortal words of a brother in our heart when we see all that You have done in our midst. Wow. But Father, Luke, in writing this verse that we looked at today, does not put his pen down. There's more to write. There's more to give account of the greatness of our God and His activity in us and our activity for Him, that He might indeed be glorified. And even on this day, Lord, in which we rightfully perhaps pause and summarize and reflect, may there also be this push in our hearts, there's more to write in the story of GCBC. So I would just ask on our behalf, as you are writing that story for us, as we're walking that through, living that out, may we be an edifying body. Looking for, pursuing opportunities, made sensitive by your Holy Spirit to speak in the lives of others around us, to build them up in Christ and to point towards hope and to point towards mercy, to point towards joy, to point towards purpose, to point towards forgiveness and safety and security for other members of the body of Christ. And would you make us to be a body, Lord, ever walking, ever moving in the direction of the parting of the day of our days in front of us, that we might walk behind you and follow you and walk in those good deeds that you have prepared beforehand, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And help us, Lord, in the living of these days, that as we walk, we do it with a reverential awe and fear of you above all others. And may we know the comfort of the Holy Spirit as we do. Draw near to us. Give strength to us. Give boldness to us. Paul told Timothy that he was not given a spirit of timidity, and neither have we been given that spirit. Help us to walk gratefully, rejoicingly, lovingly, fervently, fully behind our Savior. And Lord, we would pray, use us to multiply your church of all kinds of people. Let us find those in desperate need, even if they don't even realize it yet. Help us to find those around us to speak the gospel words of hope in Jesus Christ. We are all sinners. But all who come to Christ will be saved. So on this anniversary day, we say thank you. We rejoice. But oh, keep writing our story in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Together.